thankful for the time that is again before us to study these principles that are so important for each of us, since we all have at least one spiritual gift. May God the Holy Spirit not only develop ours as we more and more identify them, but teach us this evening as we continue this study, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. To our study, last night we left off with communication gifts. Remember, there are three categories that we will study. The first of that category is the communication gifts. Remember, when I refer to communication gifts, I'm not talking about teachers standing before children necessarily. I'm referring to male adults standing before a congregation communicating, whether it be in the sense of the evangelist or whether it be in the sense of a pastor. So under point one, communication gifts are given to male believers only and totally by grace. Secondly, a very important point, God the Holy Spirit always oversupplies, which means that there are always men who have, for example, the gift of pastor teacher that may never use it. I would think that would be true in all areas. And generally, in a positive society, you will have a maximum amount of men who have the gift being utilized. One of the ways in which you see negative volition in a national entity is when you have more qualified pastors with no churches. In other words, God hasn't messed up his timing. He does that simply to show the decadence of that society. I'm so impressed when I hear what's going on in Russia. And as you well know, the elections could have gone the wrong way. And even as we speak, there might be some plot somewhere by some underlying factor or underground factor that would like to overthrow the current regime and go back to communism. So we have always said, since the doors were open to Russia, that as long as they're open, we're going to send as many people as we can to evangelize the area. If the door is shut, well, then God gave us the open window, and we took advantage of it. It is conceivable as well, as some of you have heard on tape. I remember when I first heard it, I was rather set back by it. But the colonel taught many, many years ago that it is conceivable that a negative nation today could eventually turn around and become a client nation of tomorrow, and eventually the very client nation that lost its status, like the United States, would in fact be evangelized to the maximum by a country like Russia. You realize that thousands of people are coming to Christ in Russia. Like the girl said, you just get up and they stop you and they say, that's it, I want it right now. And the Lord has drawn them to himself and he accepts them. Maybe they weren't here when I taught, you don't accept him. Okay. So the communication gifts then are related to the wisdom of God. The communication gifts, as well as all gifts, are related to his omniscience. And God always oversupplies so that there are more gifted men than there are men who will actually will use it. Unfortunately, we have some in the ministry who don't have the gift. And they should get out. And generally, they don't last very long, because unless you're gifted in a particular field of communication, it's going to be agony for you. Don't ever undertake anything in the Christian life if you don't sense that that's your area of expertise from the standpoint of the exercise of your gift. You'll be miserable. But you will never have the satisfaction until you are exercised in your spiritual gift to the maximum. Two communication gifts that are recognized very quickly are one, evangelists, and two, pastor teachers. And they must be recognized as soon as possible because there has to be maximum training connected with it. In addition, they generally learn through the exercise of their own ministries. Specifically, in the case of the pastor teacher, that's the way they grow. And there is no such thing as a pastor's pastor. We had a guy that used to run around years ago, and he always looked upon himself as the pastor of the pastors, and wherever he went, he felt that it was up to him to minister to them and enlighten them. No, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, the Spirit of God will work through other pastors and through other ministries to encourage and to teach. That's the way we learn. That's the way we learn anything. In most cases, you have formal education, and I would say that probably, would you agree, Randy, 75 to 80% of the men that are teaching in seminaries are ex-pastors, rather than just simply professors of their particular field. They have pastored churches, so they can sympathize and empathize with what the students are going to be exposed to. Too often they have left their ministries because they're fed up with local churches and they're the wrong ones to be in the field of a professorship of some seminary because they tend to reflect that in their antagonism. And they'll say, well, you're not going to cut it, mister, because when you get there with your attitude, they're going to eat you alive because they ate him alive, you see. And churches try to do that. Some people in churches have big teeth, and they like to chew people up. Don't ever try it here. I've been here long enough that many have in the past. They're gone. I'm still here. See, that's the way it works. We have ways of taking care of you. There are many ways in which an individual can, in fact, be prepared. This one may sound strange to you, but I suggest that every pastor should have spent some time in the military. Now, that is not always the case, but I found that those that have that edge that has been removed, that edge of arrogance. And the military has a lovely way of doing that from day one. And then in addition to that, now that's not suggesting that if someone has the gift of pastor teacher and hasn't spent any time in the military, they'll never succeed. I'm simply saying that is an excellent part of their pre-academic training. And in a sense, it is an academic training because you've learned certain things. Chain of command, the principles of obedience, the principles of dedication, the principle of responsibility, and of course the lack of arrogance, because that was taken out by some DI 2 days after you got there. First day was just trying to recover from the hour you spent in front of him. You know, statements such as when you're getting off the bus, the first thing you hear is, let me know, just treat me as one of the family, maybe like your father. And remember that your mother and I were not married, so you know what that makes you. So you're put in a very humbling position immediately. And then you learn terminology. You know that they never call you by your name, but certain parts of a horse's body. And other creatures, four-legged varieties. as well as mystical varieties of creatures, plus other things. Then, of course, extensive academic training, and I would suggest a minimum of 5 years. For most younger students, 8 would be ideal, and that would include all 8 years of languages. The 4 years of Greek and 4 years of Hebrew extended over the 8-year period. I did mine in 4, and I doubled up. I took first and fourth year Greek the same year. Why? Because I knew the language. You say, in which of the two did you get a better grade? Fourth year Greek. I was bored in first year Greek. Then I took second and third year. That's the way they broke it down. I took second and third year Greek the next year. Well, that's absurd. But I did it anyway. Sat in the same classroom. One, we had a grammar book with the alpha betas in it. And then at the same room, same teacher, the students would walk out, the new ones would come in, that was the fourth year students, I'd have to get out my Greek New Testament, and we'd be exegeting 1 Peter. And I said, why don't you just give me the exams and let me pay for the course? Oh, we've never done that before. Well, try it. I'll like it. They said, well, it's a good academic exercise and discipline for you. And I'd come home and take it out on my wife. You know how we do those, huh, guys? You never do that? Come and see me. I'll tell you how to do it. Give you a special course on acting like an ass. Point 4. Identification is not simple in most cases because it demands persistence in the perception of doctrine. You see, remember, there are 3 stages that you go through in your Christian life. The first stage is simply called infancy and or babyhood. So we'll just simply put a B in there for baby. Then you have the second stage, which is the adolescent stage. And it's similar, very similar, to the same as you do in your physical growing up. And then finally, you go into the adult stage, which is the third stage, spiritual adulthood. Now, don't confuse spiritual adulthood in a stage with spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity occurs in spiritual adulthood, and it's the last sub-stages of spiritual adulthood. Just as you have various subcategories under babyhood. You have the infant believer, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Later, Paul is writing to them, and he says, I would love to teach you with meat, but you're still acting carnal. Well, they were not babies, as babies are. They had advanced somewhere, but they couldn't, as adolescents, they couldn't enjoy a good filet mignon or chateaubriand or some nice cut of beef or whatever it is that turns you on. I heard liver. I would have never suggested that. Did you eat that stuff, by the way? You didn't? Oh, okay. Yes, I hear you. Oh. Now, I know you're not that important, Alicia, so why? It's the angelic conflict, that's what it is. What does it say on there? Angasimuthos or what? All right, so in the adolescent stage, this is one of the dangerous stages, because once you enter into here, you have a little knowledge, and now you think you've got the proverbial biblical world by the tail, and you don't. Here's where you find out how stupid you were back here. Okay? And all of the things that you did that were so not only ignorant, but just downright stupid. And then as you begin to develop in your adulthood stage, well, that's where you begin to appreciate. And there is probably where, arrow indicating, your spiritual gift will emerge. Now, in some cases, it emerges here, as we have well said, or previously said, well, that the pastor teacher has to find out his gift because he's got to advance through stages 2 and 3 through the exercise of his own gift. Whereas in many cases, I would say the large majority, let's say out of 100, so it would be 90, maybe 95, so 95% of the gifts would manifest themselves somewhere at the end of adolescence to the beginning of spiritual adulthood. And the manifestation is proportionate to the growth. So at first you have an inkling over here. And you say to yourself, you know, I find that I really desire and like to do. And then as you continue in that pursuit, especially if you're young enough, and this is why it's good for a young man or a young woman to pursue their education early so that they don't have the encumbrance of a family. See, I was saved at 25. I realized I had the gift of pastor teacher shortly thereafter. But we already had a child. In fact, my wife was pregnant at the time. And so when I decided that I was going to go to college pursue the field of theology, I said, I can't go because, number one, we didn't even have a doctor yet, and here I was going to be spending money going to California, et cetera, et cetera. Well, ironically, my wife had a miscarriage. And so she lost the baby, and I said, well, now the decks are free for us to go to California. She subsequently got pregnant there, but that's okay, because the Lord said the timing is right and so forth. And we had a Christian doctor who didn't charge much. Well, he was one of the professors at Biola Nurse and Dentistry, right? Didn't they have a branch there called that? They did when I was there. They taught nurses, missionary nurses and dentists. And they had a school of medicine, Biola School of Medicine, I guess it was called. Yeah, it was about 110 years ago. Yeah, see, you guys went to Talbot Memorial. I knew Louis Talbot, so you can see. However, I did not know R.A. Torrey. I probably would have tried to correct his theological mistakes because he did believe in a second blessing. And I would have said to him exactly what Spurgeon said to another, is that all you've ever had? All right, so you have then. Did you miss it? Okay. You didn't miss it, you just didn't. As you advance, the gift advances with you. You see, you have it from the beginning. So don't go to somebody else and say, by the way, what do you think my spiritual gift is? They don't know. That's like a young girl came to me one time. She was, oh, I suppose 18 or 19, young college student. And she said to me, Pastor Miller? And I said, yes. She said, do you think I have the gift of celibacy? And I said, well, do you like boys? And she says, yes. I said, you don't. She subsequently got married and had about 1,400 children. All right, so as you begin to advance, your gift begins to advance with you. Remember, you had it from the point of salvation. You don't know what it is at first. Some of you don't know what yours is right now. Now, I'm going to add a little sarcasm to it. Some of you will never know what yours is, ever, because you will never advance. You'll stay around in your little comfort zone or lack thereof, asking your silly little questions that have been long answered in God's Word. You won't advance. And you'll allow yourself to be your own stumbling block and your lack of spiritual momentum. Others of you are going to go on strong, I can tell, because you already are. And it won't be long before your gift will manifest itself and you'll be using it in the Christian life. I can't wait. Those of you that are not going to use your spiritual gift and just sit around and do nothing, well, I'll just have to put up with you. That just remind me that I'm living in the devil's world, and remind me that all things are not perfect. Because if all of you advance to maturity and all of you have your spiritual gifts operating, that's the quickest way to get me out of planet, off planet Earth. Because I would die. I just couldn't believe it. I'd go, you know, I'd fall right over. So I need the negative ones to keep me alive. Thank you. Causes my blood to boil and gets my Mediterranean thick blood from going to my head and causing me to have a stroke. You know, of course, that that is a case where people from the southern Mediterranean areas are more likely to have strokes because their blood is thicker. So? Well, you got it too, Robin, so don't say, so who cares? All right. So identification, then, is not simple. Now, get this down. It is never connected with emotion. So you shouldn't have some feeling. I'm sure that the woman in the woods must have had strange feelings. And I'm sure that any of you who've overindulged in any of the alcoholic types, you not alcoholic from the standpoint of that's what you are, but the varieties that are available, liquids, beverages, if you've overindulged, maybe you had some weird feelings too. Don't ever make any decisions during that time, however. Just thought I'd mention that. Certainly don't ever get married under a circumstance like that. Would you marry me? Yeah, sure. They'd marry anybody, and they wonder who this person is the next morning. All right, but you notice how people change their looks? You ever seen yourself in the mirror? Say, what happened to me? Boy, if that wouldn't cause you to stop drinking, I don't know what would. And you remember that ugly, ugly thing sitting at the end of the bar and how beautiful she looked by the end of the night? Now, I speak from experience. I told you I was 25 before I was saved. So there were many beastie ones that I ended up trying to date before the night was over. You know, you first walk in, you go, you know. And then by the end of the night, you're looking and you know, she's not bad at all. That's why you should get saved young. That was my point earlier. And it also means that your gift will emerge that much quicker. See, the ideal thing, let's say a child is saved by 6 or 7. All right, so now they're functioning in prep school by good prep school teachers. And by the time they're in their teens, their spiritual gift conceivably could be manifest. And so they could pursue their careers shortly thereafter in that particular field to enhance it. So college wouldn't be just, you know, like, what are you going to do? See? In other words, you'd have some direction and so on. Actually, when I decided to go to college, why, one of my bosses suggested that I was going to go into the ministry. And because I'd been witnessing to everybody that even came into that area where I worked on aircraft engines. And I said, well, actually, no. I said, I'm going to aeronautical engineering. And by the time I got home, it was a 45-minute drive, I walked in the house, and I was convinced that I was going into the ministry. Because that other business was just wiped out completely. So, you know, God sometimes does speak through other people. Be careful, though. Don't ask them. What's my gift? You don't have one. God left you out. And if he gave you one, he made a mistake. Not true. Now, it is true, however, that once a gift begins to manifest itself, there are those within the church that will begin to detect it, and especially in the area of administration. And that's one of the ways, incidentally, where a spiritual gift is later given an office called deacon. You see the person exercise in that area, and it's not laborious. They enjoy it. They desire to do it. And you see that what they do, they not only do effectively, but and some of you do effective work, but you're not deacons, and you've made that a point. You've told us that. You can work hard, but you see there's a gift connected with it. It's not only a gift of helps, but it has to do with the administrational aspects of a local assembly. And I'm sure our deacons know it. If you don't, I'm going to tell you. I am not an administrator. Never was, never shall be. Nor do I desire to be. To me, I would rather you pull out the remainder of my wisdom teeth. One, three. One's gone. I gave it up for Lent. And mine go from clear from here, clear up to here, and the root is somewhere in the middle of my... Man, I'll tell you, when they pulled this one, my toes were going like this, and I was under maximum Novocaine. I couldn't talk for 2 days. My jaw was clear down to here. Drink. Yeah. Bleh. Why do they tell you to rinse? You can't even... I don't know how many times I bit my tongue, and I'm sure you care. All right. But my point is, I would rather you do that than tell me that, you know, the board came to me, say, the next board meeting, well, Pastor, we just decided that you're going to have to do the administrating from now. I'd quit. I'd leave. Boy, you'd see a Camry, a blue streak going right out this parking lot. I'd resign on the spot. I'm not an administrator. Listen, I can't even keep my bank book balanced. I have never kept it balanced. You say, well, how do you protect yourself? I always have $100 in there. So I can make mistakes. And every time it comes back, it is never agreed, ever. And if it ever does, and if I'm not here, you know what happened. I died. That would be as mystical as everybody reaching their spiritual gifts. Never agreed. Oh, maybe a few cents one way, few dollars one way or the other. Sometimes $100 one way or the other. It doesn't. And I use a calculator, so don't tell me. And I follow every little direction you're supposed to do. And I got two bank accounts. And neither one of them have ever balanced. You say, well, how can you make that mistake? I am not an administrator. You say, well, why don't you have your wife do it? Oh, no. No, no, no. She could probably do a much better job, but I'm the man of the house. So I'll make the mistakes. I think the men should handle the money in the household. And don't laugh. The less a woman does with money, the better. There's her point of pressure. She sees the bank book. The guy doesn't care. She wants to pay the bill a day before. The guy pays it a month late. It doesn't matter to men. Women always, well, this bill is due. My wife knows nothing about the bills. All she knows is I pay them. And I love to juggle the books. This one doesn't have to go on the hat this month. Here we go. And if I get a nasty letter, I write back and I say, you be thankful your name even got in the hat. But women, oh, they'll sit there with their little things and they'll go, the night before, come on, forget that. When my wife comes to me and says, I need so much, I say, I've got it. If I don't, no. That's it. She doesn't say, none of that. If we have it, she gets it. If we don't have it, doesn't get it. Just the way it works. She's happy and calm. Unless she happens to intercept the mail when it says... Or one day she walks in the house and goes, click, 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 click. No, that has never happened. It's almost happened here a couple of times, but not at home. That's because we have men in charge of the finances of Westside Bible. They play the same game. We all do, guys, so relax. And you girls, oh, we'll play the same game too. You want to pay it a month in advance. No. I'd rather have that money in my pocket so I can look at it. Why should it be in their pocket a month ahead? No way. I may need that for something important. Like a new boat fitting or something. Or a couple of lures or, you know. Another point, all under point four, if you identify your gift in later years and you cannot properly prepare, God can still use that gift in many other ways. A good example would be, let's say... Well, that would be the best way. All right, here we go. Dave McGuire finds out that he has a gift of communication. Now, he's got to prepare. So he's going to drop his wife and his many children and go off to school and quit his job. Is that going to work? No, I don't think you'd put up with that. And he'd have a revolt on the part of the children. So what does he do? Takes correspondence. He can work that out. But he cannot be as fully prepared, for example, as a young man could. But God can still use the gift. So relax. Don't ever get the idea that because you have a gift and now you're too old to advance because you have children running from every room in the house, that you won't be able to ever be used by the Spirit of God. That's wrong. Listen, here's the way you can tell when you'll never be used by the Spirit of God. You ready? Watch carefully. Oh, I forgot the flower. And by the way, why are the flowers back here? Are we, are we intimidated by having these beautiful flowers hidden all the time? Shirley, I'll let you fix those afterwards. You know, we have communion and we forget everything. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Our Father, thank you for the time that we've spent together. Challenge us again with the things that we've learned. May we realize how important our gift is and the function of the well-being of the entire body. In Christ's name, amen. Yeah, our time is gone, by the way, so blame it on Our Lady. She just